Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It is time now for the Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. And Ryan, this morning we're turning our attention to China, specifically the property sector. What was once attractive, now we're looking with caution.
Lots of warning signs around the property industry in China, and that's because of the China crackdown. And that extends to the property development space as well. So we've seen that with surge in loan losses when you look at how many of these developers are now struggling and under pressure to pay back some of that money. And right at the center of it is China Evergrande. So 3 years ago, it was the world's most valuable real estate group. Right now, it's the world's most indebted property developer, owing more than $300 billion. It's so dire that Moody's Investor Service has downgraded Evergrande's credit rating by three notches to CA, which implies it is likely in or very near default. So it has wider implications. And to get a bigger picture, we've got Abhilash Narayan. He is the Senior Investment Strategist for Standard Chartered Private Bank. Morning, Abhilash. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
Hey, Abhilash. Let's dive into what's happening in China. We've got the property sector under stress. What are the potential implications there? Because I'm seeing China Evergrande struggling to find money to pay its creditors, and it's also trying to give huge discounts on its apartments, but no one's buying. So what could go wrong?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the regulatory scrutiny that we have seen in China property sector, which started in a sense last year with the three red line policy, has gone a lot further than what most market analysts expected. Now, I think there are two key implications as far as investors are concerned. Firstly, is China's GDP. So most people may not realize that property or real estate sector is a big contributor to China's GDP, accounting for almost 12 to 13%. So the recent pressures on the property sector are likely to hurt the GDP growth. So we think that PBOC will need to turn more accommodative, and you know, we see up to two triple R cuts in the remaining months of 2021. The second, as you pointed out, is the bond space. So obviously Evergrande is the focus of scrutiny, but we've seen a contagion effect flow through to other Chinese property developers as well. But we think that, you know, in our opinion, the sell-off that we have seen in the dollar-based Asian high-yield bond market, specifically Chinese property developers, seems to be overdone. But right now, the markets are pricing in default rates in double digits, which we think is unlikely to materialize. And, you know, if we think about the way bond investors think about investments, loss given default is something which is very important. And Evergrande bonds are trading well below the average recovery value we've seen historically. So we think, obviously, there are some particular names to be concerned about, but overall, Asian high-yield bonds offer investors a fairly good risk-reward, in our opinion.
Yeah, Abhilash, you pointed out how the Chinese property development industry is huge for the economy. It's a huge consumer of natural resources like iron ore, also a huge provider of jobs. So what are the implications when it comes to the economy? Because I'm looking at the latest trade data, and the latest seems to be pointing to a rather, well, better than expected picture. So exports rose 25.6% and imports grew 33.1%. And this was on data from yesterday. How do you match these contrasting views where you've got the data pointing to at least a brighter sign?
I agree with you that at a headline level, the numbers look quite strong. But I think if you go below what the hood, the rise in exports that we have seen is partly due to the fact that we've seen order rerouting from COVID-hit competitors as far as, you know, exporters are concerned. So that's why China has gained a bit more market share per se as far as exports are concerned. And if you look at imports, they are being driven higher by higher commodity prices. So if you look at year-on-year comparison, the import volumes actually declined by 14%. So if you look at Chinese markets per se, equity markets, they continue to be on an uptrend over the past week or so. And we highlighted it a few days back that, you know, that's largely due to a positive technical momentum setup that we've seen over the past few days. But yeah, I think the Chinese GDP growth is likely to come under pressure because of the slowdown in property sector as well as other regulatory scrutiny which is there. So we think that for now, maintaining a neutral stance in Chinese equities is the appropriate stance.
All right, neutral on Chinese equities. So actually, Abhilash Narayan, he is the Senior Investment Strategist at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Now, Abhilash, let's turn our attention to Wall Street, where we had, I guess, the first session since the big miss on the non-farm payrolls last Friday. And since then, we've got a downgrade from Goldman Sachs on the U.S. economy this year. And also Morgan Stanley has cut its rating on US stocks. It now prefers Japanese and European stocks. So what's your take on where to invest when you look at these two markets right now?
Yeah, absolutely. The miss on non-farm payrolls was a massive one, 235K versus 700K expected by the market. And a big decline there was due to, you know, a reduction in job creation in leisure and hospitality sector because of COVID. So I think there are two implications that I see from the weak data. First, it's likely to reduce the odds of Fed announcing a tapering in September meeting. But that being said, we still expect Fed to announce tapering, you know, this year and begin the actual tapering of bond purchases in early 2022. If you move to the market preferences, we think that, you know, European markets are the clear winners in as far as global equity space is concerned. If you look at vaccination rate in Europe, we've seen a big ramp up over the past few months. If you look at the improving global activity, again, Europe stands to benefit from that, given that, you know, Europe is a big exporter of a lot of consumer goods. And, you know, if we see the European Central Bank is likely to be more accommodative compared to Fed. So for us, European stocks are the preferred market or the top pick for us. Yep. So that being said, given the high weightage that U.S. economy, U.S. stock markets have in global indices and the high exposure to tech, we still think that they should do well on a 12 to 18 month horizon.
Yeah, of course, we've got an ECB meeting coming up where this week market watchers will be looking out for any signs of reduction in bond purchases and maybe even tapering signals. And just to wrap things up, Abhilash, in the headlines, of course, is Bitcoin, because El Salvador has made it legal tender. But it's off to a rocky start. It dropped as much as 17%. It's now down 10% at around $46,000. What's happening here with the price action, Abhilash, with Bitcoin?
Well, obviously, it's an interesting experiment, right? It's the first country to adopt it as a legal tender, like you mentioned. But I think the sharp price decline that we saw overnight could also be a signal of buy the rumor, sell the fact. So people bought Bitcoin and the prices rose in anticipation for this rollout. And once that happened, and, you know, when we saw a bit of glitches coming through, some people took profit or, you know, moved out of Bitcoin. Now, I think there are a couple of things that we are watching out for. First is, you know, obviously the sharp volatility that we have seen highlights one of the risks of use of cryptocurrencies. The volatility is much, much higher than most of the other traditional financial assets. But secondly, I mean, El Salvador would be a case study in terms of whether cryptocurrencies do provide ease of use, ability to handle large number of transactions, cost efficiency. And I think a number of institutional investors and or financial institutions are, you know, gaining more interest in crypto-based transactions. So it's something that a lot of people would be watching out quite closely.
Yep, watch this space. We'll see if that experiment works out. We've been chatting with Abhilash Narayan. He is the Senior Investment Strategist for Standard Chartered Private Bank. Abhilash, thank you for your time again.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.